From NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. Protesters are gathering again in the square in downtown Cairo. That's been the focal point to the demonstrations against Egyptian President Hosni Mubarak's government. Things are still chaotic in the capital. There's word that thousands of inmates have escaped from several jails and that police have disappeared from the streets. NPR's Soraya Sarhadi-Nelson says people have banded together to protect themselves and their neighborhoods.
You have these groups of thugs running around, and I think there might even be some confusion between youth who have sort of formed ad hoc neighborhood watch groups who are carrying sticks to sort of protect their neighborhoods, and youth who are carrying sticks and knives who are actually part of this sort of looting gangs, if you will, that are moving about. Certainly, the looters were caught inside the Egyptian Museum, in fact. Just yesterday, it was announced, and destroyed some mummies, apparently, but apparently the antiquities are safe.
NPR's Soraya Sarhadi-Nelson reporting. In this country, Egyptian Americans and those that support the call for the ouster of Egyptian President Mubarak are rallying this weekend to demonstrate their support for the uprising. NPR's Pam Fessler reports on the protests in several U.S. cities.
Unlike the protests in Egypt, those in the U.S. were peaceful, largely a show of solidarity with those attempting to force Mubarak from office. Several hundred people gathered outside United Nations headquarters in New York. Several hundred more rallied in Cambridge, Massachusetts, and outside the Egyptian embassy in Washington. The protesters waved Egyptian flags and carried signs of support, such as "Egypt, we hear you." They also said they want to keep pressure on the U.S. government to back the popular uprising. The White House said President Obama met with his security team Saturday afternoon and that he reiterated his support for political reform in Egypt and his opposition to violence. Pam Fessler, NPR News, Washington.
In Tunisia, where popular protests swept a longtime president from power earlier this month, the leader of an Islamist party has returned after some 20 years in exile. Rachid Ghannouchi was welcomed by large crowds at the airport in Tunis today. His party was branded an Islamic terrorist group by the ousted Tunisian president, but is considered moderate by scholars. People are celebrating in southern Sudan. Preliminary results of the recent referendum show overwhelming support for secession. NPR's Frank Langfitt has details from Juba, Sudan's southern capital.
All the preliminary results from this referendum for independence, and the results are almost 99% of southern Sudanese voting to split from northern Sudan. Now, this doesn't mean it's going to happen immediately. It's actually going to happen probably around July 9th. So there'll be time to make arrangements, but this is a huge step, and this will be, Southern Sudan will be the newest nation in the world.
And you're listening to NPR News. Serbia's Novak Djokovic has won his second Australian Open men's tennis title. He didn't have any trouble cruising past Britain's Andy Murray, beating Murray in the final today in straight sets. Murray had been trying to become the first British man to win a Grand Slam tournament in 75 years. He's now lost three Grand Slam finals. Djokovic's only other major singles title came in the 2008 Australian Open. Five Somali men accused of piracy are in South Korea today, where they could face life in prison. As Michael Ree reports from Seoul, the men are denying any involvement with a hijacking of a South Korean cargo ship earlier this month.
The five men arrived in the southern port city of Busan early Sunday morning, where they faced charges of hijacking and attempted murder. All five were captured by South Korean special forces on January 21st. That was during an unprecedented raid on a cargo ship that had been captured in the Arabian Sea about a week earlier. Investigators with the Korean Coast Guard have questioned the suspects about their involvement in the ship's hijacking. Yonhap News reports they have denied nearly all the allegations and blame the shooting of the ship's captain on the eight pirates who were killed during the raid. The captain, 58-year-old Suk Hae-gyun, has undergone several surgeries and remains in critical condition. The remaining 20 crew members survived the rescue operation unharmed. For NPR News, I'm Michael Ree in Seoul.
Police in eastern Germany fear the death toll could rise from a head-on train crash that has killed at least 10 people and injured more than 30 others. Authorities say the collision involved a passenger train and a freight train. They say several cars of the train carrying some 45 passengers derailed and overturned. I'm Giles Snyder. This is NPR News from Washington.